Welcome to Inside Voice. Join hosts, friends, and voice actors Louise Porter, that's me, and Brad Grahowski as we navigate the freelance world while simultaneously being massive introverts. We ask the age-old question, how do you put yourself out there when literally the last thing you want to do is put yourself out there? Find out what earth-shattering conclusions we come to on this week's edition of Inside Voice. There we go. Well, hello, Brad.
Hey, Louise.
How's it going?
Good. It's going good. It's Thursday. We don't usually record on Thursdays, but it is.
Yeah, we had to rejig the schedule a bit this week, which is totally fine.
Sometimes we have to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
And Thursdays are good because it's almost Friday. Most of the week is behind you. Although I have to say, and I know this is something that you and I have talked about before, but I'm new as a full-time freelancer, right? It's been a month and 2.5 weeks, I think.
Right.
And weekends hit a lot different when you're a freelancer.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I work on the weekends and, you know, not as much, but if I need to get things done, I get things done.
Mm-hmm.
I do less marketing, networking, and that sort of stuff. But if I have production to get done, I get it done.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know if it was the last time we met to record, I was talking about sort of the glorification of workaholism in our culture and people sort of bragging about working on weekends. So I'm just to reiterate, I'm certainly not saying, you know, when you run your own business, you're going to work on weekends sometimes, maybe a lot of the time. But it was the, you know, it was the sort of glorifying it piece that I was trying to address. I had to work this weekend. I maybe worked 2 or 3 hours a day. It was a long weekend here in Canada for family day. And I really wanted to wrap up a big long form project I was doing. And so I did. I just spent the time to do it. And that's, you know, that's fine. It wasn't annoying to me. I am happy to do it. I love what I do.
Yeah, so. that's what's surprising. I shouldn't say surprising, but like can you hear that background noise?
No.
Maybe we can cut this bit out. Okay. If it's fine, then it's fine. You know, if my old day job, and apologize to any of you guys if you listen to this, it's nothing personal, but if when the alarms went off over the weekend because the server went down or something, it just filled me with dread and frustration, and it was my
rage.
Time. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It was really like, it was something I dreaded all the time. And on the completely opposite of that now, I like find myself wanting to come down and just get some stuff done. And if Lacey goes out with her friends for a couple hours of the weekend, that's time that I can come down here and get some work done.
Exactly.
So it's a completely different mindset.
And yeah.
Not intentional. It's just, I just feel about so much differently about it.
Yeah. And that's great. And I think just getting back to again, what I was talking about on the last episode is that it's that drawing boundaries with yourself too. Cause you do get to a point where you're like, ooh, even though I love this, and even though it's, you know, it's not the same as, you know, having a boss and working for someone else where, you know, you feel like that free time is really being hijacked. You need to deliberately not work when you don't have to. You know, just spending time with your friends, with your family, with yourself, with your dog, whatever. Just, you know, not making it a 7-day-a-week thing if possible.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
That was more what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Hopefully that was clear. I don't want to tell anybody what to do either. I reject the whole glorification of working 24/7, you know. It's just, I don't think it's healthy.
No, and that was clear. So this past weekend, I think I mentioned that this was going to happen. My wife plans, they call them bookends. They're weekends where her and three of her girlfriends will rent an Airbnb cabin and spend the weekend just staying in the cabin and reading. And they all love to read, and they all have three or four books going at a time. So my wife was gone all weekend, Friday night through Monday afternoon. And I, if I ever question whether or not I'm an introvert or not, I had friends reach out to me, and lovely people that I love spending time with on Friday night and on Saturday night. And I absolutely could have gone out and done social things, but I just was enjoying being home alone, doing stuff on my time, and working the parts of the weekend I wanted to work, playing video games the parts of the weekend I wanted to play video games. And I just was enjoying so much not going out, not talking to people, not socializing. Yeah. And I respectfully declined the opportunities and was so happy that I did.
And that's great. And that's your time to, like, that's your recharge time too. Like, yeah. Obviously we're social creatures and we need other people and we, you know, all of those things, but we do need that downtime. And I think it's good to have that balance. And I also think, you know, we live in an age where there is so much social media and attention seeking. And I worry a little bit that maybe there are people out there who really aren't comfortable with their own company or being alone. And that's definitely a skill to cultivate, like whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, I think.
I like that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so even if you are an introvert or an extrovert, feeling free to take that time when you could be doing something to not feel you have to be out doing things socially all the time and just say, you know what, I'm going to stay in tonight.
Yeah, or even blasting your social media and getting attention that way. It's,
so know. I didn't talk to anybody from... I think when she left Friday afternoon till she got back on Monday, other than I may have gone through a drive-through and I did go to a diner for brunch by myself.
In person talking. I was going to say, because I think we chatted a little bit over the weekend just through messages, but.
Yeah, no, I mean like voice to voice, person
to person. Yeah.
Other than a drive-through and at the diner on Saturday morning. Late morning by myself, which I love to go out to eat by myself. I absolutely love it. I love going to the movies by myself.
You know what? I haven't done that in so long, but when I lived in Toronto, which was back in my 20s, I used to do that all the time. I used to go to the movies by myself and go for dinner by myself. And I just realized, like, I haven't done that in ages.
It's weird to me that people think that's weird. Like, I've read long...
Do people think it's weird?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's weird.
I've read long Facebook threads and stuff about people debating. And just some people think they wouldn't be comfortable doing that. They feel like people would think they don't have friends. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like...
Who cares what people think?
So many friends and so much social stuff to do that I can afford, you know what I mean, to just eschew that and go out on my own once in a while and have dinner. I don't know. I don't feel it means that people see it that way at all. But, and if they do, that's their thing, not mine. So that was really nice. And what was interesting, and this is another thing that I'm trying to sort through and learn and understand. So I did quite a bit of work over the weekend because I wanted to, and because I enjoyed it and got some long form projects done. But that meant I had less work to do this week. And it was a little bit slow work coming in this week, which is fine. We have that. But I found myself, I think it was Tuesday afternoon. I'm like, I got everything done. Like, I got all my networking done, all whatever we wanted to do, get done for the podcast and all of my orders, all of my work was completed. And I'm like, I guess I can just. And because I had worked a lot over the weekend, and I'm like, well, I guess I can just take the afternoon and go do something else for a little while. And for a minute, I felt guilty about that, right? But then I'm like, you know what? The number of hours I put in over the weekend and the number of nights I work, I'm like, you know what? I can do that.
Well, and it's an interesting mindset shift too, because when you're working for someone else, you're literally trading your time for money.
Mm-hmm.
When you work for yourself, it's not all billable hours, right? So
right. It
becomes a whole different animal and a whole different way of thinking about it. And so it's funny that you're sort of, or by the sounds of it, by what you just said, you're almost still in that mindset of like, well, I put in this many hours on the weekend, yeah. So therefore I get this break.
Yeah.
I've been... that's not crazy thinking. That's just, yeah. It's definitely 9-to-5 thinking.
Yeah. And I've been a working stiff for, 30 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It, I think it's going to take me a little while. And that's why
I've been working since you were 10.
I wish I was 10 30 years ago. I was not 10. But that's why I say, I'm new to this and I'm still sort of sussing my way and sorting my way through it and deciding how to feel about certain things and how to approach certain things. And if I work till 2 o'clock in the morning, is it okay if I sleep in till 9 or 10?
Yes. Hell yes, it is actually. Yeah. it's funny. I mean, I had a busy weekend and I really wanted to wrap up a bunch of work, but then going into the week, I was glad I did it because it ended up being it's been a really busy week. And I've actually had a little bit of anxiety just getting out the door for my, like, I think I mentioned to you, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, but I'm really trying to make sure I get up for really long walks every single day. Yeah. I mean, I always have a dog that needs walking, but you can kind of be a lazy dog owner where you can just take them to the park and stand there and like throw a ball. So yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm actually purposely going for really long walks, like almost 2-hour walks every day. Well, hour and 45 minutes ish. And then I always do a really long hike on Fridays. And then I try to hike one more kind of weekend day. And so trying to fit that in when you're busy, you feel bad about doing it. You're like, I'm wasting time. Like I should get back to work. And you have to just say like, this isn't a waste of time. This is my health. Like if I don't have my health, I really don't have anything, So it's definitely something not to take for granted. But I get that. It's like you have to remind yourself why you're taking time out.
Yeah.
It's just as valid and just as important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to share that, my thoughts about having a weekend to myself, what I did with it. And how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about? What do you got on your mind?
Well, something came up recently. And it was a small technical thing. But it got my little brain hamster wheel running. And this is voiceover specific, but I'm sure anybody in any field would relate to something small and technical that they learn where it's sort of like a light bulb goes off or they're like, oh, I never knew that. So it got me thinking about when you're starting on your journey or it's sort of early days, maybe you're in your first year, or your first few months even, or even years 2 and 3, my tendency, and I'm sure a lot of people, especially introverts, is to go through the plethora of available information, particularly online, right? So you're sifting through every YouTube video and every corner of every Facebook group and
every podcast,
all the forums and what's that?
And every podcast that's out there.
Every podcast.
Every blog that you can find.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's so much information, which is great. But it's also sort of anxiety inducing, can be really overwhelming. It's you can kind of get the analysis paralysis thing happening. There's just so many opinions too. And a lot of the opinions are totally valid. And there's a lot of experts, right? And I'm not even saying that with air quotes. There just are. There's a lot of experts that have, great information available for you to take and do with what you will.
Yeah.
So here's a tiny, small thing. And it's to do with mic placement.
Okay. Mike is a microphone.
So random that I'm
not
even talking about this.
Not your friend, Mike.
Not my friend, Mike. No. Okay. microphone placement. So there are some schools of thought where, you know, people say it's like you've got to be a certain amount of certain distance from the microphone when you're recording, and the mic should be off axis. And of course, this all depends on what kind of mic you're using. And there's a lot of people have this dogmatic approach. Anyways, I've heard a lot of opinions about, and by the way, I'm finally using my new mic right now.
Yay. Hey, that means
we're both using
Sennheiser to Sennheiser.
Yeah, well, my other mic's a Sennheiser too, but it's not the Sennheiser. Oh. This is the shotgun.
So MK416 to MK416.
Correct. Yeah, we're both using the MK416.
To nerd out a little bit about microphones.
Anyway, so I did a lot of research after I got this mic on mic placement. And there seemed to be one really prevalent school of thought over and over again about that very thing. Now, and I'm not going to get into what that is because I don't think it's actually that part of it isn't important. Mm-hmm. What's more important is that shortly after I got in, after I'd done all this research and I got it all set up, I had a live direct session that I had to be in. And I first met with the audio engineer, so live direct from my studio, just to make that clear, with the new mic, and met with the engineer. And he basically got me to completely change my mic placement. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting because it was the opposite of everything that I'd heard, read, saw, anything. And I guess at the time I was like, okay, maybe that is specific to this particular genre or this particular audio engineer or whatever, right? Because there's a million variables, which I think is also important to note. But then I did some coaching with, I was talking about coaching with Tina Marasco.
Yeah.
And she essentially reiterated the same thing that engineer had said.
Interesting.
About this particular mic placement. And so it got me thinking about how you can waste a lot of time and like anxious energy and getting overwhelmed, sifting through information online that may not help you. So in this case, I found out something really important by being one-on-one with people. And as an introvert, that's sort of your avoidance thing, right? Like you're mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, I don't want to ask this question. I don't want to. So that was sort of my takeaway that I was like, okay, I need to try and, you know, get answers like that maybe more frequently, especially as your business moves forward and you're wanting to get a little more maybe tightening things up technically or whatever it is that you're looking to improve, you know, one-on-one with experts is going to be a much better idea.
Well, and so, I think I hear you saying, and I think, I don't think I would be the first one to sum it up by saying, free information is great, but it only takes you so far, right? And that until you're ready to seek out actual people and pay them for the information they have, all you've got to work with is free information. Does that sound like kind of what?
Yes, at least approaching exactly. Yeah. And I guess not that everything that we talk about has to relate exactly to being an introvert. These are mm-hmm. all just struggles, triumphs, whatever, with being a freelancer and working, you know, sort of in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
Like you're just like, and not really knowing where to turn or who you can trust but you're right. You know, if you're paying someone good money that's like a vetted professional, you know, you can trust their opinion.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean everyone, especially in the voiceover industry, that everyone who's charging you money for their information is right. Certainly,
oh,
that's not
God.
What I'm saying.
That's a whole other podcast show. We should earmark that because that came up recently, actually.
Yeah.
I don't want to name names, but that's an unfortunate reality as well.
Yeah. But I think it is. I think what you're kind of describing is a natural trap or pitfall for somebody who's an introvert to fall into. And that is...
Pitfall is a great word. Yes.
Yeah. That is spend... Thank you. That is focusing so much time on preparation and, instead of doing, right? Learning instead of doing, spending so much time going through because there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
That you
don't...
And
that's a great point. It's like you... it's sort of I always try to remind myself with the saying progress over perfection too, because even though I got this new information about mic placement, it's not to say that mine was terrible before. It just wasn't optimal. And even with this podcast, like I've been having, when I'm doing the post-production, I've been having some like question marks in my head about why I'm getting some weird sounds. And I could have basically, said to you, let's just not record until I can work out whatever this issue is. But it's a pretty minor audio issue. Yeah. But instead, I'm like, no, let's just keep pushing forward. I'll figure it out, hopefully, at some point. It's not that noticeable, but, progress over perfection. Don't worry about these little details. You just need to keep moving forward. Like, doing a podcast, this is nerve-wracking for me, just doing this.
Yep.
So when there's issues, it's like, oh God, now there's an issue, but you kind of just have to override that part of your brain that wants everything to be perfect.
Yeah. As a side note, I want to give huge thank you and I don't know, kudos or applause. I don't know, to you for taking on the technical sides of the audio of this. And I want everyone to know
you.
That Louise, I have some background noise that I don't know if you can hear. That Louise manages all of the audio technical stuff of the podcast. She manages our Zencaster. She edits and compiles everything, and she sends it off to me when she's done. And then I do the uploading and the distribution stuff, but all of the technical stuff is done by Louise, and it's amazing.
Thanks, Brad.
You're doing an amazing job.
I appreciate
job.
The shout out, although it was nice to have it be ambiguous in case someone thought it was shitty, and then they can just assume it was you or
maybe
both
that's
of
what
us.
I'm doing. I'm like, you guys, if this sucks, it's not
if
me.
If this sucks, it's Louise's.
It's not it at all. No, you're doing an amazing job. I love the way
and
it sounds.
And it's just weird working with different software, right? Like, I'm just used to working in my DAW, my Adobe Audition. You use Reaper, but so when these little issues come up, I'm like, what is that? Why doesn't it sound perfect? So it's weird. But anyway, and I should thank you for taking on the other sort of back end stuff of putting it up and doing some social media stuff for us too, because that is, I hate it. I'm gonna really try hard though to like put up some posts about it and instead of just like hitting share.
Yeah.
I think
I think it's fair to say, and maybe we can talk about this for just a moment, but today, this very day, we made the hard launch announcement and posted on all of the social media and everything. Today was the launch date.
It was, super
for
exciting.
The podcast. And I know we're 5 episodes in now, but
this is episode 5, yeah. We've got published? What's
published,
the word?
Sure. On air.
On air.
There's no air involved.
There's no air involved. That's so funny.
Yeah, the first 3 are available for streaming as of the day we're recording this, not the day, obviously, when you're listening to it, there are 5 available. The Time Machine, it's the podcast Time Machine. We're recording it today, but you're listening to it later, but you're listening to it today for you, which is later for us. You see what I mean? So super exciting, and people are already starting to listen to it and in the first few hours and reach out to us with wonderful comments, and it's really nice. So
yeah, and you shared it with me, but she also got in touch with me. Our friend Alice Everdeen sent us both some really nice messages about how much she enjoyed at least the first episode. So that was really sweet. Thank you, Alice.
We'll see how she feels after a few.
Yeah, she might just stop listening. She's a busy girl.
I adore her. So it was really nice to hear.
Yeah,
from
it
her.
Was
it
super
meant
nice.
A lot to me. It did.
Yeah, it meant a lot to me too. So how about you? What's that was my little thing that had popped into my head as a sort of you know, talking point or what have you. And did you have any struggles last week? Triumphs?
Can we talk about? I would like to talk about client management as an introvert because
oh hell yes, I mean we've talked about
tricky.
This with you before, so I'm interested to know whether you're still feeling like a doormat or.
I'm working on it, man. I really am, and I've got one client. Actually, we both have this client to some one degree or another. That's really challenging my efforts to not be a pushover. I'm going to call him John. Yeah. He's an audiobook client. So what I think he's doing is he's working with authors to produce their audiobook quotes, producing quotes. And then he's hiring voice actors to narrate the books. So he's kind of a middleman.
To narrate the books, do all the audio engineering and anything. So when I know it's just to clarify for anyone listening who doesn't do audiobooks as a narrator or anything like that or understand how that works, usually when you're the narrator working independently, not with, you know, through an agent or anything, you are also doing or outsourcing all of the production. The engineering, the editing, all that stuff. So when you say that he's producing them, we're really, maybe we should clarify what that means, which is just that he's working kind of as a middleman.
Yeah,
between
he's
the
not
two.
Actually producing anything. He's maybe calling himself the producer or, but yeah, in the industry, producing means the person who does the casting, and usually you cast yourself because you're the narrator, and you make the decisions about how the production goes, about how the book sounds.
Yeah.
Usually we talk to and listen to and try and accommodate requests by the rights holder, which is either the author or the publisher. But in the end, it's our production. It's our product.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah,
okay,
that's
good
to clarify. Yeah. So I'm actually the producer, but he's the quote, air quotes, producer.
Right.
I think that's how he's selling himself. So anyway, so he's the middleman. So it's always tricky because you only get what the actual rights holder wants through him to you. And I think we're calling him John. So nothing wrong with this, but English is not his first language. And that does provide some challenges, right? Some communication challenges, especially when you're playing the telephone game with the actual person who's paying to have the book produced, the audiobook. And
yeah, so, like, because sometimes they're the middleman, but they also have a boss that isn't the publisher or the rights holder or whatever. Yeah. And then it becomes this, like, there's just too many cooks in the kitchen.
It's a network of opinions. Yeah. So anyway, so he's pushy. You won't hear from him. And then all of a sudden you'll hear from him and he's super demanding.
And it's an emergency. I know.
It's an emergency.
I don't like that when people do that.
He had some payment issues. We're doing this book and we did it in two installments, like half up front and then half. You know, I finished half of it. And then we talked about this a little bit. If you've been following the podcast, you're kind of following along the process of me working through this book with this guy. Then pays the second half. And then I continue work. Well, came time for him to pay the second half. We're having trouble with our credit card. We can't do it. We're working on it. It took him a little over a week to finally pay the second installment. So in the meantime, I kind of put his production on hold because I'm not going to keep working if I didn't know if they
you
were,
don't have a guarantee of payment. Of course,
yeah,
not.
Exactly. I did a little
that's
bit
a
of finished
lot of work to
and,
do. Yeah,
I did a little bit, you know, just so I wasn't completely behind when they finally did pay. But I had everything arranged with my proofer, who had set a time slot aside for us, which then we lost because he took too long to pay me. So we lost the time slot. So by the time I got it to her, we were in a whole different time slot. And so that pushed things even further behind. And so now he's just bugging me. And, you know, he's like, well, how about this? If she's not done, why don't you send it to me and I'll send it to the rights holder and he can listen to it. And if he has any notes, and I'm like, no, that's not how it works. It cannot work that way. Because that it's a 10-hour book. So just for him to listen through it, it's 10 hours, right? Yeah. Let alone stopping to make any notes. And proofers have, they use a piece of software called Positron, and they work sort of jointly organically and with the software to find mistakes. But it gives you this format that's sort of an industry standard format, and you have everything you need for each mistake, like what type of mistake it was, what the mistake was, what moment, what timestamp it's at, what page, right? And there's no way
there's an awful lot of detail that goes into proofing, and it's frowned upon. You don't ever ask a rights holder or an author to be your proofer. Yeah. So the fact that it wasn't suggested by the client is like, that shows their inexperience or their lack of understanding on that front. It's super unprofessional.
Also his impatience. He said he's got another book he wants to work with.
Right.
To do, but he doesn't want to start that till we get this one done. So he's really pushing to get it done. Oh, that noise. I don't know if we can edit that out after or just leave it in if you don't hear it. I don't know. So
I'm not hearing it through my headphone, but I can check it in post and see.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's really bad, I'll figure it out.
Okay. Sounds good. Because you're a genius. So now he's being really super pushy about it. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do another book with him because it's just been so stressful. At the same time, he had asked me if I know any female narrators, because he has another book with another client that he wants to work with, but they want a woman's voice. And so I had pushed him toward you, Louise, and I guess he's been super frustrating with payments on your end. You haven't even gotten to start the project, have you?
Because I won't do anything until he figures it out. Yeah. And he's just very, it's sort of like you said, it's like that saying, like, your lack of planning isn't my emergency or something like that.
It's lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency.
Thank you. That's it. Yes. Thank you. Say it again for the people.
Lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine.
On mine. Yeah. So I just refuse to play that game. So I'm just very like that. Whatever you got to figure out, dude, like, don't come to me in a panic. So anyway, I'm pretty much at the point now where I don't think I'm going to move ahead once I do hear back from him again, because it's not worth the stress, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think I've had enough experience now to just sort of be able to trust myself and what is, you know, acceptable behavior, what my boundaries are around that and clients. And I have to say, 99% of clients are amazing.
Yeah.
And then there's just a handful where you're like, okay, how much hand holding do I want to do? You know, it's just, and yeah, I think once you're established enough, you have the privilege of being able to just say no, thank you. And wish them the best of luck kind of deal.
I will also say, and I think I messaged you the other day with this exact sentiment, I'm reaching a point where I actually, it can be satisfying turning down a client that's going to either be difficult to work with, not going to be able to afford you, right? And you've just, it's a little satisfying for me now to be able to say, cool, I'm glad you like what I do. Because they're like, we love your voice. We think you'd be perfect for this, but we can only afford X, right? and your rate
you're like,
is
then you can't
X
afford this
three.
Voice and yeah. this expertise.
Exactly.
This,
there's a reason
this
you like my voice.
Professional studio. And yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason you like my voice, and that voice costs, and I'm not certainly not at the top of the GVA rate guide. You know what I mean? My prices are
Well, you are for audiobooks.
Well, yeah, for audiobooks I am.
Yeah,
that's true.
And so am I.
Just because I don't mind not doing them. Let me put it that way. If I'm going to do them, it takes a lot of time and away from my other work and marketing. So I charge what I charge. And if you can afford it, let's go.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If not,
I'm in the exact same boat with that. And I'm so happy to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to feel that way in general. And, you know, it's hard. It's so hard. It's so hard when you don't know when the next job is coming because there's no way to know, you know.
Yeah. And I think all freelancers get that. Like that
I think
just,
so too.
Yeah. You're riding a roller coaster all the time. There are massive highs and equally as low lows and not a lot in between. And it's not for the faint of heart. That's for sure.
Yeah. And, I don't know. So all I'm saying is, and I'm trying to think of why I bring up the story of John, other than it's an interesting story. It's an interesting story of how challenging it can be to work with a client. It's an interesting challenge for me that, because this is happening at a point where I'm saying, hey, I need to reevaluate how much of a pushover I am, how much of a doormat I can be. So at the same time I'm reevaluating and thinking a lot about that, I have this really challenging client who's requiring me to say, and so I guess an example of that is when he sent me the message saying, hey, can you just send me, send it to me and I'll have my client listen to it. And I said, you know what? I said, that's just not going to do. My proofer's already most of the way through the book. I have to pay her regardless
you've already shelled out the money as well.
Exactly.
So.
And you know, and I said, and I explained your guy's not going to return it in the right format. It's going to take him longer to do it than it's going to take her to finish it. I said, we're on the fastest path to completion right now. And
it's sort of that fine line too, of like where someone may frame something in terms of like they're trying to help you or that it's somehow more collaborative than it actually is. Mm-hmm. And so in the case of audiobooks where you're working independently, and this is even outlined like in the narrator's roadmap, you can read this. This is very accepted industry-wide as like the narrator is making, and I know this doesn't have to do with necessarily proofing, but the narrator is their own, they are their own director. And so, you know, sometimes you'll have people be curious, maybe just, you know, before they start working with you or whatever about artistic choices with their book. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't tell you how to write a book. You're not going to tell me how to narrate your book.
Yeah.
And that's actually hard for people because a book is their baby. I mean, it takes a long time to write a book, but it also takes a long time to learn the skills required to narrate a book. Mm-hmm. And if you're out there and you've written a book and you want to hire a narrator, you're not the director. Like you're not a film director. Yep. That's not in your wheelhouse. You have to let it go.
And a lot of times that's not understood.
And it's not understood. And that's where that first 15 or whatever that, you know, and I'm really clear with people before I even set up a contract. But even as the process goes along, it's like once that sample is sent, and that can be, you know, sections of the book that make up 15 minutes or one section, you can ask them what they would prefer as well. Like maybe there's multiple voices and they want to hear how you're going to portray that. But once that's sort of approved, it's like, now it's in your hands. It's not, there's not some back and forth happening where now if you submit the first half of the book, you know, in that sort of installment setup, that they then get to go through that first half and say, well, actually, I don't like the artistic choice you made with this particular character, whatever.
Yeah. And I actually had to address that with John as well, because I turned in the first half and he came back and he said, cool, you know, the rights holder will listen to it and we'll let you know what notes we have. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. Like, that's just to put that in your pocket that it's done, right? Like, that's shared with you so you know that that work has been completed. It's not like you had the first 15 minutes and you had notes after that and we addressed those notes and you were happy. So we're moving forward here. It's not, I can't go back and re-record.
And my only exception to that, which I also make sure that my clients understand, is if I have grossly misrepresented some section of something or misunderstood it, you know, even if it's all proofed and I've got all the words in and everything, but for some reason it's completely off. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
of course,
for sure.
I'm going to fix it. But yeah, beyond that,
and like
no.
The old story, probably completely is apocryphal the right word?
What?
Completely made up. You know, you hear, oh, I got to the end of the book, and then in the last paragraph, it mentioned that the main character was Scottish, so I had to go back and redo the whole book. And it's, that's always done as like a lesson in how you should read the book first. There are 1,000... I don't know why that story needs to be told. There are 1,000 reasons why you should read a fiction, especially book first. We don't need to make stuff up. Maybe that did happen to somebody. I'm not saying anybody's lying. I'm skeptical that that's an actual thing that's happened, or an exaggeration, if nothing else. But where was I going with that?
I don't know. I was about to ask you if you were okay. Everything okay there in Baltimore there, Brad?
Oh, boy. Maybe I need more ventilation in my booth and get lightheaded or something. I don't know.
It is hot in here. That reminds me, we were watching Only Murders in the Building. Have you seen that with Steve Martin?
Yeah, I think we watched the first season.
There's that scene where they're recording the podcast I forget the actress name. He's Canadian.
Actress.
Is it Martin Short?
Yeah, Martin Short. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin. Well, I think they're both.
And Steve Martin.
Steve Martin's Canadian too.
And Steve Martin's not Canadian. He's American.
Oh.
It's Martin Short's Canadian, or is Steve Martin? Oh God, I don't know.
He might be. If he's not, he should be an honorary Canadian because he's in
he
with that
totally
whole like 1970s
Canadian.
Era of Canadian comics.
Yeah,
like.
But they're doing that scene in Martin Short's closet where they're recording the podcast. I was like, oh my God, every voiceover person I know is going to relate to this so hard, like just sweating in a walk-in closet, or even not a walk-in closet. I've never had to work in a closet, but I can imagine how hot that would be.
Yeah.
So funny. So, it made me laugh.
Yeah. So anyway, that was John. I don't know what was like. I was before I got off on my tear of a tangent or tangent of a tear. I don't know which it was. I had a point I was leading to, but I don't know.
You were just talking about. I sort of asked you if you're. I mean, it's early days because you just went full time, but the whole being having good boundaries with clients and that. How your introversion kind of plays into that and not having a good balance between being a yes person and then just going like completely the opposite into like asshole mode.
Yeah. So that's a constant struggle for me. Yeah. And I'm happy to share that. As embarrassing as it kind of is.
I don't think that's embarrassing. I feel like so many people struggle with that.
I guess so.
Like, what's the line? When do you say no? When do you call somebody on taking advantage of you? Yeah. You know?
But you'd think I'd be better at calling somebody and taking advantage of me without flipping over into overreacting mode.
Well, because you're towing a line of acceptance of whatever for so long. And then there just becomes a tipping point where you're like, you're just not going to take it. I'm not taking it anymore, right?
Yeah.
But they don't know that you've been taking it. They just think that's normal. So it's sort of, you know, also putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Even if they're pushing for more and more and more, like cheaper, faster, better, whatever, And you know, doing these things like, oh, well, I'll take it to the author to proof it, and ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they don't know that, right?
That's right.
They might not have the self-awareness. They might not have the experience. And so that's when our sort of, and I'm not saying I'm any better. I'm just saying I'm learning this, right? Your emotions can take over. You can start to jump to conclusions that people are deliberately trying to take advantage of you. And they might not be. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to work with them.
Yeah.
You know, if you've had a bad experience once, maybe you want to think about that and be like, well, that's not really worth my energy or whatever. But yeah.
I like that. And I think that's something I'm gonna have to think about long and hard if John wants to work with me in another book. And but it also, you know what? And it also that comes down to where you are in busyness too. Like if I've already got 3 books in the queue, and someone comes to me and I know they're difficult to work with, I'm much more likely to be like, well, here's what I can do for you. If you don't like it, good luck, you know, best of luck to you. And
yeah,
and off you go. But if you're kind of hungry for work and you're like, I don't have anything lined up right now, then you're much more likely to take a chance and to be a little more lenient. And then when you get busy a week later and you're still working on this for under circumstances that might be less than ideal, then you're like, oh, why am I doing this project? Why did I say yes to this? Mm-hmm. And so then that frustration can probably lead to then like then being irritated with the client because, and it's not their fault, you agreed to it, but that doesn't mean that you don't still have human emotions. So
exactly. And I think, you know, as I've moved forward in my business, excuse me, I'm way less likely to take those chances with clients on a long form project.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically as soon as I see the red flags, if it's long form, I'm out. It's too much time. It's too much energy. Short form, sure. I mean, if there's not a lot coming in at that particular time and maybe they're kind of like sort of showing themselves to be, you know, whatever, X, Y, and Z, fill in the blank. I'll probably do it at least once, but not for long form.
Because let's be honest, if you're doing a 300-word or 3-minute explainer video, you know, if you have to completely redo it because they just weren't happy, that's not going to set you exactly, or very little skin.
No.
But if you get halfway through a 9-hour audiobook and they're like, we think you should have done it different, that's a problem.
Yeah, or they're having issues with payment and you can't complete the book. And it's like, that is not good for everybody, anybody.
Yeah,
nobody's going to feel good at the end of that. So things to avoid. Anyways, so we're at time. 47 minutes now.
Yeah, we're running a little long. That's all right, I guess.
No, it's not too. I mean, that's around what we've been doing. So I think we can probably wrap it up.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go out on a limb here. I kind of liked our closing tag last episode that we came up with. Do you remember what it was?
No.
You can be heard even when you're using your inside voice.
Wait, that was for the last one or for the last one that's like on air?
No, the last one that we recorded.
Oh, see, okay.
Episode 4, we were talking about that.
You can be heard even when you're using your inside voice?
Yeah.
You say the first part this time because I think I said the first part last time.
Okay, cool. You should whisper the inside. I like when you whisper the inside voice part. I think that's cool.
Okay.
Okay. You can be heard.
Even when you're using your inside voice.
See, I like that. I like that. I don't know.
I was so close to just screaming it.
What do you mean? Oh.
Because you were like, I like it when you whisper. It's like I just had this moment of like, what would happen if I just screamed it?
I'm glad you didn't because I'm wearing headphones.
I know. And that's why I didn't.
Okay. Well, think about that. I am nominating that as our official closing tagline.
I have to say, I'm probably not going to go along with that because it was your idea. And
I'm sorry. I even suggested it then.
You will be. Because I'm going to come up with a killer closer.
Yeah, that's a good point. How about you come up with something? That's my entry. And if you come up with something,
I think what we should do is we should keep going with it because it's going to devolve into absolutely ridiculous, like not even good ones. And then if we have enough listeners, like let's say we have, you know, maybe 5 people.
Okay.
Or just a number that's, you know, more than one.
All right.
We could set up a poll where people could vote for it.
We could do that.
Their
that
favorite.
Could be fun.
Or if they hate all of them, they could make a suggestion.
They can suggest, absolutely. Okay, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And
that's
maybe the winner could record it if it happens to be a voice actor. It doesn't have to be.
Ooh.
They could record it. We could put it on. I'm thinking these amazing ideas right as we're about to hang up. Mm. Yeah.
That's why you're in charge, though, because you have all the good ideas.
I know. Okay.
All right. It was good talking to you.
It was good talking to you, too. And have a great weekend. And we'll reconvene sometime next week.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Bye, Louise.
Bye, Brad.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Inside Voice. If you have a topic suggestion, a question, or would like to challenge your introverted self by being interviewed on the podcast, email us at connect@theinsidevoicepodcast.com.